Today we're going to look at the life of Rebecca from the Old Testament. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed just studying this story. There's a lot on the surface, but there's so much underneath as we go in. And I won't have time to talk about everything, but if you have a chance to read it on your own, it would be great. Now, this message is going to be heavy on the reading, and I'm going to get started, okay? So we're reading in Genesis 24, and I found out this year I need these. Jen was talking about Bible study, and I would sit and read, and it was taking me forever, and then it's funny how you don't clue in, but it's because I kept losing my place because I couldn't see what I was reading. Okay, back to topic. Now, Abraham was old, well advanced in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh, that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred to take a wife for my son Isaac. The servant said to him, perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if this woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, I love this practical prayer. That's just me interjecting, okay? O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to your master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of Bethuel, came out with her water jar on her shoulder. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden who no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please give me a little water to drink from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly let down her jar from her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. And she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence, to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her arms and said, please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there any room in your father's house for us to spend the night? And she said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, whom she bore to Nahor. And she added, and we have plenty of straw and fodder and room to spend the night. The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsman. Then the young woman ran and told her mother's household all these things. Okay, we're going to skip a little bit. Amazing. I have to say, I love this servant, and we're going to talk about him a little bit more later. Okay. So, plans were made, and they called Rebecca and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men, and they blessed Rebecca and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." Then Rebecca and the young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebecca and went his way. Now Abraham had returned from a place and dwelt in the Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "This is my master." So she took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all these things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay, well, I love this passage. It's so full of faith. And some of the things I saw, I had never thought about this servant before. He is unnamed. I don't know if he's named in other passages, but I just thought about his servant's heart. Like, Abraham trusted him with everything. And I think we can think about that in our own lives. Unnamed, but so full of faith and devotion to God and to others. And I love how practically he prayed. I think God appreciates our practicality too. So we also learn a lot about Rebecca from this introduction. She was beautiful, but she wasn't pampered or spoiled. She was kind and energetic and hospitable. And I looked up a definition of hospitality, and it's a friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. And what a beautiful thing that she did. And I think it showed a lot of her character in a short amount of time. Even that, like, she was energetic. She, like, ran to get more water. Like, there's just descriptive words within it. And Abraham's servant was shocked at God's swift answer to his prayer and how God had orchestrated this situation in so many ways. It really was amazing. And we also see Rebecca's personal faith. She trusted God and that God's hand was in this through the testimony of the servant. And she was brave. She left home and all that was familiar, and was really, I feel that bravery was fired by faith in God's providence in this situation. And this passage also indicates, in my mind, that Rebecca was a pleasant person to be around. She was a comfort to her new husband after the death and loss of her mother, and she really was a companion to Isaac. And I just thought of the verse from Proverbs 19, "Houses and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." Okay, so we're going to continue our reading in Genesis 25, 19, and you can follow along on the screen. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the sister of Laban, to be his wife. Now, just because I'm going to talk about it later, Isaac, what does Isaac's name mean? Does anyone know? Laughter. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If this is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they named him Esau, which means hairy. Okay, I'm just gonna get out of here. Their names really bother me. Anyways, but not the names. I've said things like, and then I'm like, oh, there's going to be someone in the audience. Not that, but just more the meanings of the names in this particular circumstance. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, which means deceiver or grasper. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking stew, Esau came in from the field, and he was exhausted. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore, his name is called Edom. Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now." Esau said, "I am about to die. What use is a birthright to me?" This reminds me just of kids being like, "I'm starving." Anyways, Jacob said, "Swear to me now." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Okay, and we'll pick up 27. Now when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go into the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to her son Esau. And when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats, so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." And his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." And then we're going to go to 41. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing which his father had blessed him. So kind of, sort of, their scheme worked, but we'll talk about that later. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said, "Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him for a while until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of both of you in one day?" Okay. So you know, I feel like we could have read so much more, but there's just so much to talk about from this passage. So we're just going to start. Isaac and Rebekah were barren for 20 years. So Abraham had been given a promise that his line would have more descendants than the stars of the sky. So why, when God had promised, why were they barren for 20 years? And as we had talked earlier, Jen had talked just with Elizabeth, just that there were supernatural things going on and that this promise needed supernatural help from God. Isaac prayed on Rebecca's behalf, and they conceived and were doubly blessed because they had twins. Now, before these twins were even born, a war was beginning to rage within Rebecca's womb. And Rebecca was perplexed about what was going on within her. And God answered her with almost a riddle, that two nations were in her womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. As mothers, we just... I don't really love division in our house. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And for those that were here last week, we were talking about Eve and just the consequences of her eating the forbidden fruit. And just about, like, Eve was the mother of all living, but just the complexities that came into our relationships and how we feel that as women. And I do really feel that it was such a struggle for Rebecca. How was she to nurture and mother these nations striving within her womb and later within her home? And there were forces at work beyond Rebecca's control. And we will see how Rebecca tries to hold on to control and the tangled mess that it wove. As these boys grew up, Isaac favored Esau, while Rebecca favored Jacob. Instead of love and trust and unity in the family unit, there was rivalry and a spirit of competition between the brothers, and even between the desires of Isaac and Rebecca. I don't know if anyone remembers, we had studied this book, Respectable Sins, about 3 years ago, and there one chapter was on the spirit of competition, and I didn't really, I was like, I guess, but I just see that so much. Like, you know, there's healthy competition, but this is like a toxic competition, and this is like the case study of the spirit of competition. And this account shows Esau, he was favored by his father, impulsive, gripped by instant gratification, foolishly selling his birthright for a bowl of stew. And who does that? Do we do that? And do we value the inheritance offered us in Christ? Do we meditate on the deeper things of life? Or are we distracted and deceived by instant pleasures, often that have devastating consequences? And let's just think about our birthright in Christ. But as self-indulgent as Esau was, we also see self-advancing in Jacob. And I think about just the types of people and the different things we might struggle with. We can look down at someone that is self-indulgent but not see our own self-righteousness, or people that are, you know, or vice versa. And there really are different things that different people struggle with. So we see self-advancing ambition in Jacob. He was sly. He was seeking the upper hand. He wasn't his brother's keeper. He wasn't seeking the best for Esau or protecting him in times of weakness. He was manipulating, he was calculating, and he was scheming. I really think Jacob had a deep, deep need for blessing or affirmation. And you would see this later with his relationship with Rebecca, just what he was willing to sacrifice, like 7 years of labor for a loving relationship, but we won't go into that right now. So we just see that he is wrestling with those around him for blessing, and often in harmful and self-destructive ways. Well, and then Rebecca, she decides to help her son. Oh, don't we love to help? And I can think of the anxiety that grips our hearts where we just feel we need to act. You know, I was also thinking about the prayer of serenity. Can you guys just say it? God grant me the serenity. Things cannot change. Change the things I cannot. And the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you, ladies. So maybe we should all put that on our fridge today. We get gripped by anxiety. And, you know, there are things that we are called to do, but then there are things we are not called to do. And I think Rebecca just felt she needed to move on God's behalf. I think she probably felt like her husband didn't listen to her and just that there was lots going on in the family that wasn't good. And did God not say that the older shall serve the younger? And Rebecca created, frankly, a bizarre scheme to trick Isaac into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. In marriage counseling, this would have had bad communication all over it. But the bigger issue is a faith issue. Instead of waiting on God, she took matters into her own hands. But the means, deception, and were just not worth the price. And I do think we as women need to take note of this. So Rebecca's, I think it would have been her mother-in-law. Yeah, it would have been. So Sarah, she was gripped with anxiety that she couldn't bear a child, and she helped God, and it created another tangled web. Different type, not deception, but so I do think we should just take note of this and that I need to take note of this. God is God, and he will work, and we need to trust that. So Esau was furious after all these shenanigans and sought an opportunity to murder Jacob. So Rebecca makes more plans, and her beloved son leaves. And the text doesn't say that Rebecca ever was reunited with her son, although it was part of her plan to call him back. And this is a reminder to me to commit my family to the Lord, remembering that God is God and I am not. Psalm 27 tells us, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." Into this seemingly hopeless family drama, God intervenes. All Jacob's life, he had been wrestling with others to try to get a blessing. Yet, despite all Jacob's faults, God pursues him. And as Jacob is leaving home, he comes to him in the ladder from heaven and says, as he was sleeping, "Behold, I, God, am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." It sounds like God is starting to wrestle with this Jacob. Rebecca's heart desire did eventually come true many years later in Jacob's life by means she would never have chosen, namely many deceptions by her sweet brother, and in ways she could have never imagined. After many years and many trials, Jacob comes home a changed man, and he cries to God so different from his earlier prayers, which if you have time to read them on your own, he just does a lot of bartering with God. But this is his prayer now. "I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to me, your servant." Instead of grasping, Jacob was showing thankfulness for what God had given him. Instead of pride, humility that he did not deserve what he was given. And instead of detachment saying things like the Lord your God to Isaac. Instead of detachment and bartering with God, we see devotion and worship to the Lord God. And what a grace that God pursues us. And you know, God pursues us in our lives too, and he comes to us offering to pay the crushing cost of our sin, all our foolish strivings and graspings and schemings like Jacob's. The debt was paid through the blood of Jesus when he died in our place on the cross. And this is good news that we really need. We have inherited right relationship with God the Father through Jesus our brother. And Jesus is a better brother than Jacob, and praise God for that. So God meets with Jacob again. There's wrestling, which is just such a profound thing that we don't have time to go in today. And at the end of this wrestling, God changes Jacob's name from the one who grasps or deceives to Israel. And this will be such a picture for the next years of Israel, the nation, their relationship with God. And Israel means triumphant with God. So no matter what name or what identity we are given by others or that we give ourselves, God has given us a new identity, and we are triumphant with God. And we see this new identity at play as Jacob is reunited the next day with his brother Esau. He embraces his long estranged brother and exclaims, "For now I have seen your face, which is like seeing the face of God, and you have accepted me." Finally, the wrestler has ceased wrestling as Jacob, now named Israel, finds acceptance with God and peace with his brother. God was fulfilling the word he had given Rebecca many years before about her children. And God is faithful. He will complete the work he begins. Just as the song said, "They that wait upon the Lord." So let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you pursue us and that you are working in our lives. And Lord, help each one of us in our relationships, in our lives, in our families' lives. Lord, we want your blessing. We want your acceptance. And thank you that you have given it to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and bless your name, and thank you that you continue pursuing us. And we're holding on to the promise that you will complete your good work that you've begun in us. Bless each woman here. And we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.